Good morning. And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And we've been saying that for a long time. You know that? That's been our motto here at the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And so it just comes out that way. So anyway, we appreciate you coming here. We appreciate you being here live. If you want to come and visit with us, we meet here every Sunday. 622 Genoa Avenue Southwest, and doors open early, 9:30, and we just encourage you to come visit us and see the saints that studying the Word of God, rightly divided. It means a lot to us. And this morning we're going to be turning to number 8, Blessed Be the Name. We're going to be singing, Blessed Be the Name. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die, that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Number 2. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. At God the Father's own right hand, where angels host adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer only potentate, the blessed head of all, Thou hast devised salvation's plan, for Thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. The King of kings and Lord of lords, the truth of God of peace, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who reigns shall never cease. Blessed be the Lord, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. A lot of truth in that song. Genesis chapter 3, as we on lesson 25, and as Tom mentioned earlier, shouldn't we be in chapter 25? Some would think so, but you know, one thing we talk about all the time is the fact that we have between now and the catching away to go through the Bible and just enjoy it and let it meditate on it and think on it and study it out. You know, because the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman in need, and not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we encourage you to do that. We encourage you, for those who are listening and using our YouTube studies and stuff. But I will share this with you. For some reason, when I try to upload this to our Dispensational Bible Church page on Facebook, it has an error or it won't go through. And so, you know, that's one of the things about the wiles of the devil. And there may be a time that we lose this technology and you can't turn on your cell phone and you can't turn on the iPad to find things. What are you going to do? You're going to open the book. Amen. And not only open the book, you're going to see a smoke signal go up. Ed's here. Got to go. You know, that type of thing. Church is happening no matter what. We can get communication out, right? One way or the other. We continue to meet by word of mouth. That's how you also encourage the people that you talk to. You share the gospel, the grace of God with them. You encourage them. You get them to study. They get to be knowledgeable in the Word of God. And the next thing you know, they're sitting beside of you, you know, studying with you. So if that's an encouragement, don't worry about the numbers. Many people drove in here today past churches with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in there and thousands of followers and stuff like that, but that don't necessarily mean they're right, do they? God wants people to study the Word of God, and that's what we're doing. And I'm thankful to have the ability to do this, and I hope it's encouraging to you too. Genesis chapter 3, man's original task was to have dominion over the earth, be fruitful, replenish the earth, subdue it, rule over it, dress the garden, keep the garden, and be God's watchman over it. And man had failed at that. You know that, don't you? You know, in every dispensation, a man is an absolute failure. You know, today in a dispensation of grace of God, you're a failure. You may not feel like a failure, but you're a failure outside of who you are in Christ. You know, we can look at our things going on right now like, oh my gosh, I'm miserable, miserable. But in Christ, you don't have to be that way. Be sure that you get that and grasp that standard pattern as set forth in Genesis chapter 3. The rudiments, the seed of all sinful behavior is found in this chapter right here. And I said this once, I said 1,000 times. This is where we're at, and when you look at that world, this is why they are the way they are. I was driving up with talking to my wife a little bit, and we're talking about our children, and we're talking about the things of this world. And she looked at me and she said, "This is the way the world is," and she's exactly right. But we don't have to be a part of that. You know, we don't have to say, "Hey, do what you want to do." All you got to say, maintain the course, stay in the ship. Fly the flag, and everything else will go about you, and hopefully people will be in the same ship that you are in. You will never get beyond Genesis chapter 3 when you deal with sinful men. That seed plot of sinful behavior started right there. And the pattern by which all people that we will deal with, whether it's your family members, whether it's your wife, your husband, your uncles, your I don't want to say dogs and cats, but we'll just leave them out of it. But the thing is, you know, all the things that you're dealing with people-wise, if you understand where we're at in the Word of God, you will be able to deal with people out there in a more godly likeness way in the behaviors. It found right there in Genesis chapter 3. Sin complicates life. No matter if you're saved or not, sin still complicates life. Now, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. We studied this a little bit, but we're going to go back. You know, we went through it a little quickly, but we're going to highlight a few things down through verse 14. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now in verse 1, we talked about how the serpent can also be the beast of the field, okay? Verse 3, attention to the fact that they are playing fast and loose with God's word. They're mixing it up. They're adding two. And Eve is not operating on a basis of what? Sound doctrine. And so she's operating on a basis of mixture of sound doctrine and her own viewpoint now. And that's very, very dangerous. Verse 5, Eve knew what the gods were. They're not idols, people. They're not little trinkets that you put on your mantles and on your dashboards and stuff. They're not that you wear around your neck. They're not idols. They are not little representations like gold Cadillacs, airplanes, that type of thing. They're supernatural creatures. They're supernatural beings, and Eve knew who they were. And she knows all about them. Hey, where did God place man at on this earth when he created man? Y'all agree with that? You think they went outside that garden? This is something you need to think about, and I've been thinking about it. You think they ventured off outside the garden, or they stayed in the garden? Well, they didn't wander until they got kicked out. You know what I'm talking about? He placed man in that garden and protected him and gave him everything they ever, always knew. But around that garden, what was going on? They are angels. They are supernatural creatures that she sees around her. And it's obvious that she sees the angels. So they're out there. And Psalms chapter 8 verse 4 says, "What is a man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with the glory and honor." So what is man made? Lower than the angels. Now, would that make you upset you that you're made a little lower than angels and you see all them angels out there doing whatever they want to do? Fallen angels doing what they want to do? It could maybe get in your craw a little bit. Like, wait a minute. I'm a creation. Why can't I do that? She understands who the supernatural creatures out there were. And she sees them and what they can do and how they operate. And so Satan says to her, God doesn't want you to have that tree, because if you eat of that tree, you'll be able to do the same things these gods are doing, those angels. That might make you think, maybe I want to do that. They're doing whatever they want to. And she sees them, and she's conscious that she is, Adam is created lower than the angels. She knows that she and her husband are secondary creatures. Who was created first? The host and all them? And then, now whether you believe this or not, I do. I call it a fact. And it's the gap fact. And we went over that type of thing, that there's something happened between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to Genesis chapter 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. You don't have to wonder anything else about God of the Bible. In the beginning, God. And then it says the earth was found without form and void. Something happened there. Now, you don't have to believe that or not, but I do. And that's when Satan, I believe, blew a fuse, and people started the creation, angelic beings. He convinced 1/3 of those angels to follow him. That's quite a bit. She doesn't have, well, her husband was made lower. He doesn't have all the things that the angels have. He doesn't have the ability to do all the things the angels can do. She is a secondary creature out of Adam. So that makes her even feel probably even worse. You know, I'm not giving her excuse, but, you know, think about it. You need that job. You need to get out there and do this. You need it or else. You don't know women like that, do you? Telling her husband, you get out there and do this or else. Well, good for you. But anyway, she doesn't have all the positions, rank, and authority and capacity that Adam has. He told Adam what to do. He gave Adam a commission. So what Satan is doing here, he's seeking to cast doubt and God's good intentions for Eve and for that man. He's putting down in a, oh, go ahead and do this. Look at it. He's trying to create discontent and dissatisfaction with the position that God gave to Eve. He gave her a position too after the fact, didn't he? And made her a helpmeet. And to her, a husband was secondary, lower than the gods out there. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good or evil." Does that say that?
No.
What does it say?
From evil.
It don't say that. What Bibles are you using? Good and what? What's verse 5 say?
And evil.
Thank you. And evil. Notice it doesn't say good from evil, as my helpmeet just said. Little Eve over here. It says good. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17 also says good and evil. Now, you don't need to tell me, I mean, you don't want me to tell you definitions of what I think they are, but there's a difference between from an or, an and, that type of thing. And is a conjunction, isn't it? Like, well, don't want me, well, anyway. It's not the knowledge of good from evil. It's the knowledge of good and evil. This is two extremes here that we're talking about. He doesn't want you to know good or evil. Those two things, not one, but both of them. Right? It's not good. And it's not just evil. It's both of them. And there are two extremes of that sin nature. Your old sin nature has two extremes. It has an extreme that goes towards human good. And that's the good in the passage here. They would take of the tree and gain the knowledge that of that would could attain that was good, or that was good, or that was evil. Excuse me. Both of which God refused. There's many people say, "Oh, if they took that, they lived forever." That's not what this is. It's the knowledge. It's the human good of it, and you're going to see some things in a second. It's a human good, and God wanted to eliminate both of them and did not want them involved in human good and human evil. What was the viewpoint in the garden that they created when Satan was there? You had God's word, you had Satan's word, and then what do you have?
Human
words. Human viewpoint. Okay? That's what it created. Look at me. Look what I can do. And those two extremes that you will see later become a part of that old sin nature that is communicated to them by taking the fruit. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, we studied last lesson two about the threefold temptations and the way temptation comes. And you shouldn't miss that. The temptation, no matter which one of the methods was used, whether it was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, the goal of it was to tempt Eve towards the desire-oriented lifestyle, the free will lifestyle of a method of making decisions. What did God told them in chapter 2, verse 16? "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the good, knowledge of the good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it." Excuse me. "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." If you wanted to be obedient to God, and God gave a commandment, you don't have to worry about how you feel about it. You think about that? That young man I'm talking to, and he says, "I still don't understand why y'all eat pork, why you eat pig, you know, swine." And he studies Islam. He won't eat it. I said, well, God tells us to do all things in moderation. You know, that type of thing. He goes, I said, it was for obedience. Some would call it a dietary law. But you know, there's a lot of religions out there stems off of Judaism that won't eat pork. You know what the other white meat is, don't you? Pork or possum? Roadkill. Now, I won't eat that either. But anyway, I might have ate it when I was younger. Didn't know what I was eating. I ate cow brains once.
Yes.
Scrambled eggs and cow brains, and I didn't know what it was because it's grandma's, and I'm like, what? And then I went to truck stops years later. Some of the truck stops down south, they still serve that on the menu, and I'm like. I got that anyway. That's another story. But anyway, you don't have to worry about how to think about it. You don't have to worry about what you want to do about it. Because God commanded that. And God said, don't eat that one. Eat anything else. Now you can either walk by faith of what God tells you, or you can rebel against it like Adam and Eve did. You know, Brother Howard mentioned about the verse about the faithful, full of faith. This is what God wants Adam to do. Adam and Eve were supposed to walk faithfully. They had the Word of God speaking to them faithfully. But you know, it is you and it is me here, but those are two basic lifestyles. There are only two ways in all of life. The reason the faith is always the issue with God, and it's always been the issue, and it always will be the issue, and any dispensation that comes, it's going to become by faith, is because unbelief was the basis of the original sin. Eve didn't walk on the doctrine of sound doctrine, on belief. She started doubting it. And they failed to believe God. They failed to obey His Word to them. Listen, anything outside of faith is what? Sin. And we should be thinking about that. You know, we walk by faith, not by sight. Who walks by sight? Who needed a sign? Israel. And what, you know, you remember what the first two signs were in your Bible? I'll tell you what they were. Unless you tell me different. Now, I'll tell you, Moses, the snake, picked it up, rod, puts his hand in his bosom, comes out, leopard, puts it back in like a newborn. Those are the first two signs to the nation Israel that said, whoa. They knew God was with them. And ever since then, they required signs. A pillar of smoke, a pillar of fire. All this stuff, all the way up to time here, where's the signs, wonders, and miracles? You know the next time signs, wonders, and miracles are going to appear and going to take place? It's not in the dispensation of grace, so if you're out there looking for signs, wonders, and miracles, you're not getting it from God the Creator. You might be getting it from Satan himself and his ministers of light. The next time is right here, the Antichrist. Signs, wonders, lying wonders, and people's going to fall for that. Now, grant you, people fall for that stuff today anyway, right? Now, I know you don't handle snakes, and you don't speak in tongues, and you don't run pews and all that stuff, but people do. They're still looking for a sign. They won't walk by faith. I know that movie, probably not the greatest movie, but what was that, Bruce Almighty, or what was that sign with that... Jim, yeah, and he's looking for a sign. Lord, give me a sign. And here comes a truck, a construction truck pulls in there, and like all kinds of signs, you know. Like, God don't work that way, guys, in the dispensation of grace. They failed to render the obedience of faith, and they went off on their own will, on their own way. And that's why the one thing God requires is faith. It takes more to be faithful than it does not be faithful. I tell people all the time, you're more of a man to stand up by faith than it is that anything you can do out there for somebody. Paul calls it the obedience of faith. And that's what God always required, for man to do what he tells them to do. They don't do it, do they? You know, we look at our children sometimes, you do this, and they look at you like, you know, you're the only gods they know when they were growing up. And when you tell them what to do, they look at you like, that's authority. And some today will still be obedient to your authority. Now, they might not be doing what you want them to do, but they can say, I honor that. That's authority. But that's what God wants. There are two opposite lifestyles, two extremes, two separate systems. One is based on desire, what you want, lust. The other is based on love towards the Lord. One has this source of authority as self, what I desire, what I want. And the other source of authority is what God says. One goal is to have pleasure, be satisfied right now. The other one's goal is eternal joy. I know people that's a whole lot younger than I am. Now, I don't have a lot. And many of you don't have a lot either. But what you work for is what you work for is yours. And I don't know if you notice that people that's younger than you are, 30 years old, 25, they want what you got right now without even working do it. So their pleasure and desire is say, I want that right now. Not even going up through the ranks. Not even going up through working for it. And I look at that, I'm like, be patient. Just enjoy life right now. Be who you are. It will come. Decisions. And one has one the other sources of one has a source of authority, a self. I'm going to do it. I'm God. It's my, me, I. You know the whole story. Middle letter of sin is what? Middle of pride is what? Middle of Lucifer is what? I. That's where it comes from. Pride. And what I desire, what I want. The other authority is what God says. One goal has pleasure. Be satisfied right now. I want it right now. Hey, that feels good sometimes, don't it? It really does. I'm going to go out there and take my shoes off, put my feet in a river and lake, and I'm going to get satisfied right now. Or I'm going to have to walk there and endure the heat and that type of thing. And then when I get there, is it going to be pleasurable? Many of you know I remodeled a boat and took my took my time, but it didn't take no time to put it together, because once you get on something, you tear it apart and put it together. And I got an old engine, right? An old I shouldn't say old, but because I'm older, it's 31 year old, and it gave up the ghost a couple of weeks ago, which I called it. But so it's like $200-some part or a newer motor. And I kept thinking, my desire is this motor over here. I couldn't wait. Decisions. But my thinking was, okay, I can continue to use this. Next week it's going to be something else. Next week it's going to be fuel problems. Next week it's going to be prop problem. Always, what's boat stand for? Break out another 1,000. You know, and you keep pumping money into something, or you make one decision, take it and go. So I'm out in it. Yesterday, first time I've had it out by myself to open it up, and it just takes right off, and it's vibrating a little bit. And I pick my wife up. I'm like, "What happens if something happens to this motor out here?" And she said, "I don't even want to think about that, you know, because I'm thinking that something could happen, and if it happens, it's going to happen now. But the desire was just enjoy what you have." You know, that type of thing. But the goal was to have pleasure. But I don't have to have satisfaction right now. I can think of like today, such a beautiful day, you know, and just go out and enjoy my wife, you know, just go for a pleasure ride or something like that. Just enjoy it. I don't have to, I can wait on that, you know, knowing that some things can happen. But the goal, one goal is eternal joy. To me, having that eternal joy is more important than having that pleasure right now. You know, we talked about knee problems, and we had an organ recital in here earlier today and talking about all kinds of things going wrong with us. One of these days, we're going to have a glorified body, and we're going to move around, and we're going to be just like God. You know, we're going to have God. But can we move around and be God-like today in the dispensation of grace? That's what God-likeness is. Paul talks about God-likeness. Was Adam supposed to be in God-likeness? Yes. And so one lifestyle has pleasures of sin for a season, and satisfaction is now. They don't care. I don't care what it costs. I'm getting that. And you've heard people say they sold their soul, you know, to be, to sing rock and roll and all that stuff, and they're out there. And then you see all these, you ever notice these singers today that came up when you was there, and they was out there just, you know, living their lifestyle and of sin and just all kinds of stuff. You see what a lot of them's doing today?
Commercials.
Some of them singing Bible songs. And they're, you know, I'm like, why didn't you do that to begin with? You know, why didn't you just take your time and it would come? Because you know what? Hollywood and all that stuff, they mark you. If you don't do it their way, they ostracize you. Getting on music a little bit, many of you know who Willie Nelson is? Waylon Jennings, David Allen Cole, that type of thing. There was a time that you only went through Nashville and went through their producers and all that stuff before to get anything recorded. So they started making music on their own down in Texas and stuff. You know what they deemed them as? Outlaws. So that's why you get outlaw country, outlaw music. And they wherever they went, they was looking for them. Oh, they're troublemakers because they went against the grain. Okay? Now, I know a couple of denomination preachers. They deem me as an outlaw. They deem you as an outlaw because you're studying the Word of God. How? Rightly divided, dispensationally considered, and they look at you like he's an outlaw. Stay away from him. And people says, you know that what, you know what, when they say that, you know what that should trigger in your mind? Well, wonder why. What are they afraid of? What are they saying that you don't want me to know? That's exactly how Satan went to who? Eve. God don't want you to be like this. God wants you to, you have two masters, Satan and God. And there are the two ways of handling life's problem in the passage. When sin arises, what do? You either run from it, you dodge it, or you confront it. So when you're, so what you're dealing with here are the two ways which men live. Man today, you're no different than Adam and Eve was when they was going through this. There's only two kinds of people, we say, saved sinners and lost sinners, right? You agree with that? Yeah. We are all sinners, and you either one or the other, and that's a fact, and it goes back to here, right here. You was a sinner before you were saved. Do you still sin? Not wanting to, because if you say you don't, I can show you a picture over there, a passage over in Peter. It says that you're, what does it say over? You know where I'm going with this?
It says he without sin denies the faith.
Where is that at? Get me off on something here. Where is that at? I've got it marked. Well, I guess I can't find it. But it basically says, your daddy's the devil. You're of the devil if you do that. Time passed, born again. Oh well. But anyway, saved sinners and lost sinners. We are all sinners, and you either one or the other, and it goes right back there. They are two results. One is bondage, and the other is freedom. One brings death, and one brings eternal life. Might have been John, the word, think back. John, isn't it? Yeah. 1 John. I thought it was over here and ages to come. It is. It's a, yeah. Go to 1 John chapter 3. We'll then finish this thought. 1 John. And people says they don't sin. Yeah. And where I'm reading from right now, 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteousness, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is what? Born of God. Do you still sin today? What's he saying? What's John saying? If you still sin, you have the devil. That's what happens over there. There's a bunch of people over there saying they're doing this and doing that. That's ages to come. But what I'm saying today, we're all sinners because you had to be saved. If you wasn't a sinner, what did Christ die for you for? I hope that ain't confusion, but the thing is, you better watch how you rightly divide the word of truth and not play Russian roulette with the word of God, because what you choose there and you try to apply it to your life, you're going to be in bad shape. The two results is bondage and freedom. One brings death, the other one brings eternal life. The issue of desire-oriented living beginning here is very important for you to see. All the life being based on desires and feelings and what you want to do, you will see everywhere you go. You know what Ephesians chapter, hold your finger there and go to Ephesians chapter 2. We say this over and over and over. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Just doing what you want to do. That's all it is. Just doing what you want to do. And that's what Eve got involved here, guys. Following her feelings. She saw it, she desired it, she took it. She was doing what she wanted to do, her feelings, her desires, obeying the commandment of God. The methodology has been used by Satan to solidify the original problem, sin, of man, down through the ages. And the complications from that will further a sinful behavior. And that's what you see down through the rest of the passages in Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 6. You see the basic standard. The first six verses show the basic methodology that leads men to sin and rebellion against God. just going on what they want instead of what God desires. Then you see the result of that, not just in the fall, the sinful nature and the sin of man. But you see the complications that comes from the man's sin and response there, sinful response. By the time you get to the end of the chapter, you know what that ball string looked like? You ever buy a ball of yarn, ball of string, and it's just perfect? And then you start taking it, and next thing you know, it's all knotted out. That's what happens. That's been knotted up so tightly that man could never, ever unravel it. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Then the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." That's a bright idea, isn't it? Taking a fig leaf off of a tree and covering yourself to it. You know what happens the next day? You have to do it again. You have to do it again. Over and over the next. Because you know how long that fig leaf's going to last?
Just a day if you're lucky.
Well, how many goes to a beautiful event and you get a rose and you put it in your Bible and you leave it there and you forget about it and you open it up? Oh, what a beautiful rose. It looks fresh and revived. Look, I'm going to put it on today. And it goes, it crumbles. That's what that does. And the thing is, it don't last very long. They're out there ravaging creation to cover their own guilt. And they're going to do something, and that keeps on and on and on and on of doing it. It's do-yourself religion. How many's been involved in that? Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get an amen? The thing is, look, each one of us has been in religion that we thought what was doing there was helping the situation. And it's the religion of the world, the man's devising, never gets the job done. Ever. You know why? You know why that religion, that process don't work? You always have to work. We talk about that performance treadmill. And you get on it. Yeah, look at me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing for the Lord. And next thing you know, you turn. Yeah, many of you got treadmills. You ever try to turn it up on 12 and the incline on 24? You're like, before, you know, like you shut it off. You get off and watch it go up and down. Are you going to get back on it like that? No. It comes back down to where you can get on it. The thing is, the fig leaves keeps fading. And they wither away. They fade away. That's why 1 Peter talks about the glory of man being like that. We'll pick up next lesson in verse 8. But the thing is, don't get on that treadmill religion. And I'm looking at people here. I know you're not on that treadmill, but I'm speaking to people out there that may need to understand religion is bondage. Religion is something, look what I can do. And it started in Genesis chapter 3. And you got to realize that Genesis chapter 3, and we'll break it down a little bit more next lessons too, but you got to remember that. And when you're dealing with people out there, you look at them on that basis. And you can realize, I know where you at, buddy. There's people, hey, I know the things that people's doing today, been there, done that. A lot of it. And I know where they're at. Okay? And there's life outside of that. Amen. There really are. And a lot of people, well, you turned out to be okay. You ever hear that excuse? You turned out, well, Pops, you're okay. You know? But it could have ended a lot worse. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. thank you once again for tuning in. And just remember, Christ died for our sins. That started right there in that garden. And we'll see in Genesis chapter 3:15, He promises a Redeemer for mankind, that you and I could never, ever, 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 ever do good enough to pay for that. And when we look at people today saying, I'm not as bad as that person, or I'm glad I'm not this person, you are that. You were that person. And just because you're saved today, you can still be involved in things like that. And God paid for that. Amen? Till next week.